on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, as rents in Donegal rise by 22.7%, a discussion on the issue in Dáil Éireann this afternoon leads to some heated exchanges. A cross-border investigation was launched this morning following reports about the way a car was being driven in Strabane. The Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney has said there is a landing zone for a deal on the Northern Ireland Protocol. He says the best option is a deal with unionism. And a Donegal senator expresses concern following the death of a child from hepatitis. According to the HSE, it's one of 6 cases of the disease identified in the country. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That'll be after the sport at around about 5:20. We begin, though, with the latest rise in rent, with Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin saying the county is now in the midst of a rent crisis, as figures show yet another hike. According to today's Daft.ie report, the average cost of rent in the first quarter of the year in Donegal was €857, up 22.7% on the same period last year. Deputy McLaughlin says there should be a rent freeze in Donegal and also a rebate of 1 month's rent for those who have to pay in their tax. He says it's time the government stood up for those in the private rental sector.
We have a real crisis in the county now, and you know, in many towns across the county, you know, you'll pay over €1,000 to rent a family home, and that's a huge amount of money in a county where wages have not increased and the cost of living is already going through the roof. I had appealed to the Minister for Housing, Dara Bryan, to introduce a rent pressure zone in the county. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened. So we really need urgent intervention here from government. We have a serious crisis in the country.
Well, there were fiery exchanges in the Dáil this afternoon as Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty raised the issue with the Taoiseach. Leo Varadkar went on the attack, focusing on Sinn Féin's record north of the border. Deputy Doherty claimed, rather than answering the question, the Taoiseach was attempting to turn the debate into a soap opera.
Anytime I tell you a few home truths about your party's record in government in Northern Ireland, you lose the rag. You absolutely lose the rag because you don't want people to know the truth, and that is the record of your party in Northern Ireland. Whether it's COVID, whether it's employment, whether it's poverty, you've only reasons to be ashamed of your party's performance in government.
Please, Deputy. Deputy, resume your seat, please. Show some respect to the House.
The Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney says there is a landing zone for a deal on the Northern Ireland Protocol. He's urged the British government not to trigger Article 16 and suspend the deal, adding the EU would have to respond. Simon Coveney says building a deal with unionism is the best way forward.
Our message is simple. We want partnership, we want dialogue, we want negotiation, and we believe that there is a landing zone that can deal with legitimate issues that have been raised in relation to the implementation of the protocol from the unions community in Northern Ireland and from the business community in Northern Ireland, both of whom I met yesterday in Belfast.
A child has died from a probable case of hepatitis, the HSE has confirmed. It's one of 6 cases identified in Ireland over the past 10 weeks in children aged between 1 and 12. A second child has received a liver transplant. The World Health Organization says at least 169 cases of acute hepatitis in children have been reported in the UK, EU and USA. Senator Eileen Flynn, a member of the traveller community based in Donegal, says today's news is very worrying indeed.
In horrible accommodation, living circumstances for many communities. I've seen outbreaks of hepatitis A in Wexford and Carlow in Dublin, and not only am I nervous, but all of Ireland, I think, is nervous now for the welfare of our children around hepatitis. There's a stigma that comes with it, that around shaming and stuff.
A decision to move the Donegal Rally Service Park to Letterkenny has sparked anger in Milford. Milford Mart has for many years been home to the service park. Senator Eamon Blaney was critical of the move on what will be the rally's 50th anniversary. He says it's not the first time that such a proposal has been made.
On the 50th year, they're moving it in over the area, where it has been for the majority of them 50 years. The service area has been on Milford Mart, and the place that accommodated very, very well. as far as I know. And, you know, talking to the manager of the Mart, nobody even came to him to tell him, we're not going there this year to you. We're removing from the place. You know, and it's the secrecy behind the whole thing.
Well, Eamon McGee is clerk of the course for the Donegal Rally. He says they're seeking an alternative venue for the event because of the extent to which it's grown.
As years go on, Greg, this event has grown and grown and grown. And especially this year as well, we now are part of a European Championship. We have moved up to a different level of rally. It's not just a national event. Not an international, it's a European event at the moment.
A cross-border investigation was launched this morning following reports about the way a car was being driven in Strabane. With the details, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
At 11.05 this morning, police in Strabane received a report in relation to the way a white Volkswagen Jetta was being driven on the Lifford Road in the town before it crossed into County Donegal. Police alerted Angarda Síochána, who reported the car was driven back towards Strabane. Police then located and stopped the vehicle on Lifford Road. The male driver, aged 40 years old, was interviewed in relation to offences including taking and driving away and driving without insurance, and he will be reported to the Public Prosecution Service. While at the scene, police conducted a search of the vehicle and recovered a quantity of suspected Class B drugs, and a male passenger in the car, aged 21 years old, was interviewed in relation to this and will be reported to the PPS. Local police say this is a good example of cross-border work with colleagues in Angarda Síochána and are urging anyone with information or dashcam footage to come forward.
Donegal County Council is to assess a new government scheme for wastewater treatment and collection with a view toward applying to have a number of areas in the Letterkenny Milford area included. Councillor Donald Coyle says the scheme announced recently by Minister Dara O'Brien could provide much needed infrastructure in Bonagee, Drumminy, Drumnahoe, Lurgy Brack, Leck and Woodlands. He says Irish Water missed a major opportunity to lay pipes during the work on the four-lane road, and he said previous promises of investment in that area have not been honoured.
It's almost 40 years ago since the late councillor Harry Blaney was promised that as soon as the works on the treatment plant in Mahar-Rennan was complete, that there would be a sewage scheme put in place. There was a golden opportunity to lay a pipe on that new four-lane work that's going on now at the moment. I did ask for that. Irish Water didn't do it. All they did is they put in ducting for road crossings on the four-lane. But look, you know, that now there's an opening here now, and I would ask that the council would put in a robust application.
The chair of Donegal LGBT says it's vital that Ireland's hate crime laws are revised to make people feel safe and supported. A vigil is being held in Letterkenny this evening to mark a month since the killing of Sligo men Aidan Moffat and Michael Snee. The vigil is also a stand against LGBT plus based violence and a call for more appropriate hate crime laws in this country. The chair of Donegal LGBT, Seanna Devenny, while welcoming ongoing work, says the pressure needs to remain on to ensure that adequate legislation is put in place.
I think it's really, really important that a month on from the brutal and violent murders of Michael Snee and Aidan Moffat, that we can come together as a community, remember them, but also call to action that, you know, our current hate crime laws are inadequate and effective, and we really need to make better strides in making them more appropriate and so that our community members feel safe and supported.
And unfortunately, it has taken the killing of Aidan Moffat and Michael Snee for this to be properly listened to on a national platform. So it's vital that action is taken, because it shouldn't have taken this long.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, like even with Ashley Murphy as well, we've seen, you know, discussion afterwards with her particular murder. Where do we stand with our hate crime laws, and how will somebody be prosecuted for it? And we do have an Incitement of Hatred Act from 1989. However, that's pretty much a very ineffectual law, and it only takes into consideration whether the person who has been the victim of that hate crime act, whether they feel it was maybe hate speech or, you know, it was directed at them because they are from a minority group. However, it failed to prosecute a lot of people. And I suppose Helen McEntee back in 2021 in April did bring forward a draft hate crime legislation, and yet that has to be enacted. Now, we welcome that very strongly, and it's great to see that. But like you say, it shouldn't have taken two killings of two men in, you know, a neighbouring county for that to happen. So although, you know, there has been strides being made, we need to make sure that we're very clear in our stance that it needs to continue, and there needs to be progressive laws continue being developed and adapted.
Seanna Devenny there speaking to Michaela Clark. It's believed a missing Derry man may have travelled to Donegal. Police say they're becoming increasingly concerned for the safety of 55-year-old Donald Kelly. He's described as being 5'7" in height, of slim build and wearing glasses. Donald was last seen wearing a grey fleece top and dark-coloured tracksuit bottoms. Police believe he travelled to Donegal on Tuesday morning. Gardaí are assisting with efforts to locate him. Anyone who may have seen Donald is asked to contact either Gardaí or the PSNI. A blanket of hope was launched in Letterkenny today, featuring hundreds of individual squares knitted and crocheted by people all over Donegal and further afield. The project, which was launched earlier this year, was coordinated by Letterkenny Youth and Family Service Knitting and Crochet Group, the Donegal Social Prescribing Network and Errigal College. The squares have been brought together into one big blanket. It's then been divided into a series of smaller blankets, which will be distributed to various charities. One blanket will hang in the Donegal County Museum. Patsy Ferry of LYFS says it was a real community event.
Massive amount of squares come in. They came from everywhere. One elderly lady just donated 50 squares. She just sat in her home and beavered away on them and donated them. They came from groups. They came from individuals. Just everyone responded to it. It was just such a hopeful and delightful thing for people to do.
And this Saturday marks Africa Day in Donegal. Donegal County Council and the Donegal Intercultural Platform will jointly present a celebration at the Regional Cultural Centre and on Greenland Theatre. With more detail, Thobia Ahmed from the Donegal Intercultural Platform, she says it's going to be a day of celebration.
Africa Day is really very fun and it's an important day. It is marking, you know, the independence of Africa. And you can expect, you know, the food, the dance, the happiness, and also it is like family-friendly event. We're looking forward to it.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line and style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15. Good evening, Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with some news coming in from the school's football front. And Scolwara Buncrana have lifted their first girls' national title in over 20 years. Their under-17 side have just beaten Presentation Secondary School off of Thurles to take the title there. It went to penalties. It was nil-all after normal time at Oriel Park in Dundalk. Nil-all after extra time. The dreaded spot kicks were required. Sudden death was needed, but it was Buncrana who won through 5-4 on penalties to take that under-17 FAI Schools Junior Final and to take the title today. So congratulations to all involved there. A super end to Thursday, getting an All-Ireland title. Cross channel, Arsenal will guarantee themselves Champions League football for next season if they defeat Tottenham Hotspur in the Premier League's North London Derby tonight. Kickoff at the new White Hart Lane is at 7:45. The gap between the teams is 4 points with 3 games to go. So a victory for Spurs would put them right back in contention for fourth spot. The destination of the Donegal League Premier Division title could be clear this evening. Caju's appeal to the Ulster FA Disciplinary Committee will be heard. Should they be successful, Bunnigie United will effectively be champions with a 4-point advantage at the top over Kilmacrenan with 1 game to play. Should the punishment for fielding an ineligible player be upheld, then the gap would be 1 point with 1 game to go this coming Sunday. Jimmy McGonigal has become the first Derry City player in 9 years to pick up a Player of the Month award. The strikers, the SSE, Air Tristy, Soccer Writers, Ireland Player of the Month for April, were during that period the league's top scorer, netted 5 of his 9 goals this season. Barry McNamee was the last Derry player to claim the monthly award back in April 2013. McGonigal accepted his award today ahead of tomorrow's top of the table clash with Shamrock Rovers, where Derry will look to reclaim top spot against the defending champions. The 26-year-old told Kevin McLaughlin he's looking to follow his award with a good result in Dublin tomorrow.
Yeah, I am delighted. It's good recognition for the goals that I scored in April, and obviously it's been a while since somebody from Derry has won it, so I'm delighted that I'm the first person in 9 years.
It's going to be tough one against the champions down at Talla, but it's a game we must be looking forward to in relation.
Aye, well, we have to go down there and try and win. We have the squad to do it. The game here, we came out on the right side of the result, and hopefully it's the same again on Friday night.
In cricket, in the Interprovincial Cup at Brady today, they're off with rain at the moment. The North West Warriors have been given a target of 124 for victory. The Northern Knights batted first, and in 45 overs they scored 123. The Warriors at the moment, with 23 overs played, have 61 for the loss of 5. Now, if the rain continues to affect play over the next hour or so, it will put the Knights in an advantage in the Duckworth-Lewis scoring method, but the Warriors will be hoping that they'll be able to resume shortly there. In boxing, it's 2-1s from 2 so far for the Irish fighters at the Women's World Championships in Istanbul. Dublin bantamweight Niamh Fabe won her contest against her Congo opponent to advance to the last 16, while Belfast Catchlan Friars also progressed to the last 16 of the light flyweight division. Still to come, Enniskerry welterweight Casey Rock goes up against former Donegal-based boxer Astea Kucha of Lithuania. She, of course, is a multinational champion under the banner of Finn Valley, but then moved home back to Lithuania and will go up against an Irish fighter this evening. In golf, Seamus Power is 4 shots off the lead in the opening day of the Byron Nelson in America. The Waterford golfer is 4 under, playing the back 9. The leader is Colombia's Sebastián Muñez. He's at 8 under. Cork's John Murphy is 2 over, playing the front 9. The Rugby World Cup is going to the United States. It's been confirmed the men's tournament in 2031 will be held in America. The 2027 tournament has been awarded to Australia. The 2025 Women's World Cup will be staged in England, with the 29 renewal in Australia before the 2033 event for the women in the USA. And world champion South Africa will play Ireland in Dublin for the first time in 5 years in November. It will be the first of 3 matches in the Autumn Nations Series. They'll twice play South Africa, and in between those 2 matches, they'll also have a test against Fiji as well. Finally, just looking ahead to tonight on the Score programme, as you heard on the news, a lot of talk about the Donegal International Rally. As we look ahead to the event tonight, I'll be joined in studio by Eamon McGee and Brian Brogan, the clerk of the course and the chairman. We'll also be talking League of Ireland football with Declan Boyle ahead of big games at both ends of the table for Derry City and Finn Harps. Derry to go on Monaghan in the Ulster Championship, with the winner to play Donegal. We'll be speaking with Gaelic Life journalist Michael McMullen. And Donegal to go on Tyrone in the Nicky Rackard Cup for a place in the final at Croke Park. We'll also hear from Donegal vice-captain Jack O'Loughlin. That's all on the Score tonight after the 7 news. Donal.
Thank you, Oisín. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%. APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, a little bit of history was made last night as the County Donegal Executive of the Irish Farmers Association held its first ever monthly meeting on a farm. The farm that was used was that of Seamus Quinn's in Lahey. Among the main items for discussion was a lively debate on the recent pay hike for the IFA Director General, and 2 resolutions were passed, including one of no confidence in the IFA's National Remuneration Committee. Donegal IFA County Executive PRO Tom Boyd has been telling me more.
This is the first meeting we've had on farm for the county executive. It turned out we had a great crowd. There was over 50 there. And especially considering, suppose, the week of Balmoral show, and it went well. Yet we had Salem O'Neill from the Farmers Journal speaking, and Michael McHugh from FBD, and they both give very thorough talks on both their relevant fields. If the buzzword in IFA at the minute is the pay increases, you know, and so, yeah, it came up last night again. As I say, it came up in the previous county executive in April. So the 2 resolutions came forward last night. The first one was put forward by Denny Schoen, regional executive there. They put up a motion that the pay increases be revisited and they'd reconsider due to the current pressure on farmers with the financial burden of price hikes of products, etc. And then the second motion was put forward from the floor last night from the Ballyshannon branch, and a motion of no confidence in the remuneration committee was put forward. It was, you know, put forward by the Ballyshannon branch, and it was anonymously backed by everybody on the floor. There was very little against any of the motions, and so both motions now have passed and have been sent forward to the National Council.
Yeah, and just to explain to people, Director General Damien MacDonald, there is this remuneration committee. It had recommended that his pay increases from $185,000 a year to $215,000 a year, so roughly a €600 a week increase. Now they're saying it ties in with similar positions and linked in with higher civil servants. Nevertheless, a lot of people on the ground are finding this a bitter pill to swallow.
Yeah, so the remuneration committee there, it was just put to them. This was a recommendation from a KMPG report back in 2016 that the pay would be increased at this stage. Now, this was put towards the committee and they just unanimously passed it without any discussion with any of the executives throughout the country or the members. And, you know, €600 a week is a good wage for any man, never mind to get that as an increase, you know. And It's a better pill to swallow for farmers on the downs and members when somebody gets that much of a wage increase, really.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens at National Council level. And Tom, just before I let you go, there are plans for the next County Executive meeting also to be on farm.
Yeah, so the plans are in place for the next Executive to be held in the farm of James Lane there in Burnfoot. So it's penciled in for the 14th of June.
And that was Tom Boyd, the PRO of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. The meeting also heard from Phelim O'Neill, who is the market specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. As always, he gave a very comprehensive update, especially in relation to the beef, dairying and sheep sectors. The Tyrone man knows Donegal well and was more than pleased to be in attendance.
I suppose the first thing that struck me about the meeting was how good it was to be out again, actually meeting in person face-to-face. It's been my first opportunity to do so with Donegal farmers. We had a previous meeting some time ago on Zoom, and say this occasion it was down on the Quinn family farm, and good to get talking, not just the meeting, but to have the chat over the cup of tea as well. In terms of markets, we're in that ironic situation at the minute where farm gate prices, apart from the pig sector, are all in reasonably good shape. But the reality is the cost of production, and you mentioned the war in Ukraine there, and there's no doubt that's a major contributor to it, but the cost of production is eating up all of the any extra revenue that farmers are getting at the sales level. Like, we have record prices at the minute for beef, for sheep meat and dairy products, and yet you know, when we look at fertiliser costs, sadly they're record too, by increasing threefold compared to where they were this time last year. And again, every farmer, as we get into silage season now, will appreciate just what the cost of diesel is doing as well. So, you know, we're in that catch-22 situation where we have a good market, but that we're not getting the benefit of it. And I suppose the fear is then, you know, as the cost of inflation hit on wider society, we're thinking of the energy costs, the home heating oil costs, etc., you know, will that impact on demand later in the year? And that is, I suppose, is one of the fears that's hanging over the sector at a time when, as I say, prices are relatively good.
Probably one of the dilemmas facing farmers is if they are buying in certain inputs, it's whether to buy now or hold off and hope the price may come down.
That's true, and I think the reality is, from what we can gather this spring, an awful lot of farmers have used a lot of less fertiliser, and I think we've seen farmers starting to maybe reduce stock numbers in some cases as well. So that brings with it, you know, consequences later on in the year when there's less about maybe than had been expected. One of the things, I suppose, in seeing that dip in demand, we've noticed actually some slight easing of fertiliser prices, maybe up to a couple of hundred euro a tonne.
And do you think we're going to see some more diversification as people maybe analyse their strengths and weaknesses and see what possible alternative avenues are out there?
There's no question that farmers, you know, no sector adapts to the circumstances, to market signals, to supports, government support signals, etc., quicker than farming does. You know, it just has to respond to the environment that it works in. We're also in the middle of a major cap reform at the minute with 2023, the year that the new regime is intended to kick in. There's been some discussion about maybe that should be deferred for a year, given the uncertainty that surrounds production in Europe with the events in Ukraine. there's a whole wider and enhanced environmental dimension to the cap next time round. And that, of course, the higher the environmental element of it, the less production element is to it. And actually, the two could intertwine very well a year from now. And, of course, everything in life has consequences. You know, if we have less production of livestock product in Ireland, whether that's the meat or indeed the dairy products from our milk cows, you know, the reality is that it won't be unique to Ireland, that will be replicated elsewhere. And that does have an impact on a global supply base in a world where the demand for all agri-food products is forecast by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations to be higher in 2030 than it is today. And that is the conundrum that we face as we move to towards a more environmentally focused agriculture in Ireland and the European Union.
And finally, Phelim, if I could just get your thoughts on the expansion of the market in the United States for sheep meat from Ireland. Just how big an opportunity can this become?
I think this is a very interesting opportunity, Chris. We were cleared back in 2015 to start beef exports to the United States, and that has been very underwhelming. It's been very, very slow volume, low volumes that have been exported, and there's only a handful of factories that even have USDA approval. For the sheep meat sector, why it's more interesting, there are just two major global players in sheep market and sheep exporting, Australia and New Zealand. Actually, Ireland would be the number four exporter in the world, number three is the UK, as a matter of interest. And the fact that we are the first European country approved to start doing business now, I think gives us an opportunity to get into that space. There's a very small domestic sheep production industry in the US. They're a major importer. Now, the reality, of course, is that sheep meat from Australia and New Zealand is a much cheaper price than it is from Ireland. But I think it gives us a very useful extra option in terms of finding markets. You know, we can never have enough international markets open.
And that was Phelim O'Neill, Market Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Well, the forecast, a few showers at first this evening, followed by a spell of more persistent rain from the west and fresh southwest breeze. Scattered showers overnight, becoming mostly dry later. Minimum temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees Celsius in fresh to strong and gusty southwest winds. It'll start cloudy tomorrow Friday with some showers about, but sunny spells will develop during the day. Top temperatures of 15 to 18 degrees Celsius, fresh southwest winds, decreasing light by evening. And that's Highland Radio News. Main stories in brief. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says the county is in the midst of a crisis as latest figures show another rent hike. However, attempts to raise it in the Dáil by Deputy Piers Doherty this afternoon led to clashes between himself and the Taoiseach. A cross-border investigation was launched this morning following reports about the way a white Volkswagen car was being driven in Strabane. It crossed briefly into Donegal, and after a cross-border investigation, two men were arrested. The Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney says there is a landing zone for a deal on the Northern Ireland Protocol. He's urged the British government not to trigger Article 16 and suspend the deal, adding the EU would have to respond. He says the best way forward is to build a deal with unionism. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news headlines again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 12th of May. The death has occurred at his home of Maurice McFadden, Taylor's Hill, Galway City, formerly of Coolon, Tumgrinny, Scariff, County Clare, and Newtown, Falcarra, Donegal. His remains will arrive at St Mary's Church, Cladda, Galway, on Monday for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, followed by burial in Rahoon Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in memory of Morris to Galway Hospice. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on dominicanscladda.ie. The death has occurred of Gerard Gillespie, Main Street, St Johnson. Gerard is reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:30 to St Bathan's Church, St Johnson, for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Alzheimer's Society Donegal branch, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. House private, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Charlotte Kelly, Ballycarran, Kilmacrennan. Her remains are reposing at her home. Requiem Mass on Saturday afternoon at 4:30 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with burial afterwards in Newleck Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Mickey Duffy, Carnamaddy, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in Doe Cemetery. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family Fares Only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. And the death has occurred of Nancy Hirrell, née Baldrick, Cottage View, Tummock, Bridgend. Nancy's remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St. Angus's Church, Burt, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Cancer Care West, care of any family member or Murphy funeral directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.